Adrian. It was only as we were praying before the service that a particular insight was shared into this passage and its relevance for today, as a comment was made linking me with one who might be exiled to a foreign country. I'm not sure I quite see Kingshiller's Babylon, but you can certainly pray for us there. Last week, we finished our sermon series on the Sermon on the Mount, and Adrian preached from the last bit, didn't he? Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And to help him with that, he looked at Jesus' temptation in Matthew 4. And when Jesus was tempted by the devil three times, he replied with the word of God. Verse 4, he said, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Verse 7, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." And then in verse 10, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Quoting from the Old Testament, as I'm sure many of you know, quoting from Deuteronomy. And it's Deuteronomy I want to start in today. Because to understand the start of Daniel, you need to know what's gone before. The Israelites, God's people, having been in captive in Egypt for 400 years, God leading them out after the plagues, the death of the oldest son, through the Red Sea, wandering around the wilderness for 40 years, and now opposite the promised land. Deuteronomy 28, Moses speaking to the people, starts, "If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all his commands that I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above the nations on the earth. All these blessings will come upon you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. You will be blessed in the city, blessed in the country. The fruit of your womb will be blessed, and the crops of your land and the young of your livestock, the calves of your herds and the lambs of your flock. Your basket and your kneading trough will be blessed. You will be blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out." But he continued, "However, if you do not obey the Lord your God and do not carefully follow all his commands and decrees I am giving you today, all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. You will be cursed in the city and cursed in the country. Your basket and your kneading trough will be cursed. The fruit of your womb will be cursed, and the crops of your land and the calves of your herds and the lambs of your flocks. You will be cursed when you come in and cursed when you go out. The Lord will drive you and the king you set over you to a nation unknown to you or your fathers. There you will worship other gods, gods of wood and stone." Moses warned them as they were about to enter the promised land. Joshua took them in, judges reigned, and then they appointed Saul king, David, Solomon, and descendants, until they came to a point where actually they had disobeyed God so much, gone away from him, that we then read in Daniel chapter 1, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand. God had said this is what would happen. This is not unexpected. And this is where we start today. And really, as we look through chapter 1, we can get a glimpse of the intention of this foreign country, linking in, as Adrian said, with what we looked at the start of the year. The intention of the country that they were exiled to, and the actions of that country. And also we have a look at the response of God's people. How to respond in that climate. And from that we'll have a look at, well, okay, what applies to us today? We might not be exiled to Russia or the United States or somewhere else. But what can we learn from this today, and how should we as God's people respond? So, the intentions and actions of the Foreign Society. We mentioned this word, didn't we, back in January, if you remember it, assimilation. The whole goal of the Babylonians was to incorporate their captured peoples amongst them. Not to completely wipe them out, as a number of the countries did when they attacked. We read so many times that as Israel went into the Promised Land, they destroyed everything. But the Babylonians wanted to draw in and make them Babylonians, assimilate them. How did they do that? We read in verse 2, they took some of the articles from the temple of God. They carried them off to the temple of his God in Babylonia and put them in the treasuries of the God of the Babylonians. They said, we recognize you have your own God. We're not going to burn everything. We're not going to trash everything. What we're going to do is we're going to take those things that remind you of your God and we're going to mix them in with everything else that we worship. It's going to become part of the whole. We're not going to say, no, they're not valuable anymore. But it's part of everything. Assimilating them into our worship of our God. They gave them opportunities. As we read there, Daniel and his friends, other nobles, were taken in and trained. They were given opportunities. It wasn't, you are scum, you are foreigners, therefore we will just treat you as water carriers. No, we will give you opportunities so that you can rise up in our society and become one of us. We will change your names so that you sound the same as us. You look the same as us. In fact, when people call you, they won't know that you're any different from the rest of us. And we will impart to you our values. We will feed you what we eat. We will encourage you to partake of all that we do. That you no longer are a separate nation, but that you're just merged into being like everyone else. The response from the people of God. What did they do? They took their opportunities. I could imagine being taken into a foreign land and suddenly someone gives you an opportunity and you think, well, all my people are captive. Is it right that I take this opportunity to rise up in this society? Is it right to... Because there would have been so much wrong with society there in Babylonia. So much that you disagreed with. Should I be part of the system? Should I allow myself to rise up within this system? Or should we separate ourselves? They took their opportunities. By doing so, and as we will read through the rest of Daniel, or as you will read through the rest of Daniel, I will at some point, no doubt, they were able to fulfill the immense calling on their lives. If Daniel and his friends had said, no, we're not going to partake here at all. We're going to just sit around and cry about where we've come from and not take part, then he wouldn't have been able to make the influence that he did in this land. They allowed their names to be changed. It's interesting, actually, as we read through in carrying on in verse 11, the author still refers to them as Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. They knew themselves who they really were. But society had changed their names. Names that were very important in their days. I don't know about you, if you've got children, when you were choosing names for your children, what emphasis you put on what the name meant. We just picked them because we liked them, to be honest. And we looked at what the names meant and thought, Farron, Ferret, oh well, we like the name. But in those days, and there is no link, please, there isn't. But in those days, names meant an awful lot. Daniel, God is my judge. Name changed to Prince of Bel. Hananiah, gift of God, changed to Aku's command. Mishael, who is like God, changed to guest of a king. Azariah, whom the Lord blesses, a servant of Nebo. Names that meant an awful lot, they allowed to be changed. Why? They knew who they really were. They knew that they were gods. And they knew who they were in God. The fact that their name was changed actually made no difference to the core of who they were. However, food, drink, what a thing to refuse. But here we see something of what was really going on. The good food, the wine, actually was probably food and drink that had been presented to the deity. This wasn't just a bit of rich food that their stomachs couldn't take. There was something a lot deeper here. Their values as people of God were being challenged. Their belief system was being challenged. What would they do? They refused. They said no. Went to the chief official and said, look, can we just eat vegetables? Can we just eat vegetables and water? And the chief official said, no. He said, no. What do you do when faced with no? They didn't give up. They said, no, this is too important for us. Though the chief official says, no, we will persist. So they went to the guard and convinced the guard to ignore what the chief official had said and instead to try it out. Wasn't easy, was it? One, to go to the chief official, and then two, to subvert the order that he gave and go try to see someone else. To not give up. They knew when to stand their ground, and the result, well, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. God blessed them. And then as they came into Nebuchadnezzar, he saw that they had greater wisdom than anyone else. They knew when to stand their ground, and God blessed them as a result. So, what about the world in which we live? Here, today, Orpington, King's Hill, the southeast of England. What is the intention of the world around us? Is it not actually to make us all pretty much the same? To make us the same as everyone else? To say, we're not going to rubbish your God, but let's put your God alongside everyone else's God. Let's see that actually the God of Christians, Jesus, is not raised any higher than anyone else, but is on a level footing. a level footing with Buddha and Allah and anyone else who believes anything else, let's equate them and just put them all in together. Whether it be in the schools, how it's taught, in your workplace, in the public square, as you can express your view as long as it is one of many and we recognise that we're all one together. Watering down, Jesus is the only way. I am the way, he said. No one else can get to the Father but by me. A message not welcomed today. Opportunities. Let's have Christians as well as everyone else partaking in society. That's the desire. And what is our response? Come to that shortly. They want us to seem like everyone else. That as long as you don't stand out in your workplace, that's fine. You can believe what you want in private. But keep it to yourself, please. And you need to understand, Christians, that your values need to line up with the values of society today. And if they do, that's fine. You can be a Christian. But if they don't, that's when you'll come under trouble and pressure and problems. We need to share the same values, whether it be of democracy, capitalism, sexuality. Perhaps probably the best example of the pressure the church has faced has been more recently with the Church of England's debate and vote on women bishops. Irrespective of what you think the outcome should have been, to hear after the vote had taken place, all the news outlets, everyone, saying the church needs to get with it. It needs to modernise. It needs to fit in with where we see society today. It needs to understand that the world has moved on. And it needs to come in line with the world. Saying the values of the world are more important than what you might believe. Now, it's great if you believe the same. That can work. But if you don't, well, tough. You need to fit into the values of the world. How do we respond? How do we respond as people of God in society today? We need to take those opportunities that are given to us. We need to partake in society. Yes, I'm sure there are some that have been called to be monks, to live apart, probably. But for the vast majority of us, our calling is to be the teacher, to be the doctor, the nurse, the journalist, in media, in sport, in business, in finance. To take the opportunities that we are given, because we don't know where the Daniels are amongst us. Those that will affect the nation, will affect so much because of the opportunities we have taken under God to live out our lives and our faith in society today. We need to be praying that those opportunities are taken. And as we do, recognising that it won't be easy. It won't be easy, but that is where God has called you. That is where God has placed you, and we need to stand firm. Who knows the purpose God has for you in your workplace, in your street, at home? We need to be confident of our identity in Christ. No matter what people call us, no matter who they say we are. We need to know who we are in Jesus. I might be unsure of what my name means. I have an idea. And actually, if you want to know what the names of some of our young people are, they've created a wall in that back room. They've looked at it recently, what their names mean. Ask them when they come back in, what does your name mean? But whatever my name means actually is not as important as who I am in Christ. I need to be rooted in my knowledge of who Jesus is and what he's done for me, and therefore who I am in him. If I'm not secure in that, then I need to go back to the Word of God. I need to look at Ephesians. See all the times that it talks about who we are in Christ. I need to read a book that might help. Great book I've read recently by Mark Driscoll about who do you think you are, based on Ephesians. Know who you are in Christ. So that when people look at you, when people have a go at you, when people ask you to fit into their mould, you know who you are. We need to know when to stand firm. We need to be able to discern when something that is asked of us contradicts our faith to the extent that we need to say no. That is a line we're not crossing. There's an interesting discussion going on at the moment. Contextualization is the buzzword in college at Spurgeon's. Anyone who's got anything to do with mission at the moment, talking about contextualization and syncretism. Okay? Basic idea, contextualization, it's looking at the Bible and seeing how it applies in your context. Good. Yeah. Jesus taught a lot of parables about sowing and farming. And if I talk to my neighbour about sowing and farming, they will look at me blankly. They've never been near a field, never been near a farm. Don't understand that. So we need to understand how we can put the Word of God into the context we're looking at. But syncretism is going that bit too far, and it's the merging of two different, possibly opposite ideas into one. Where actually the distinctiveness of Christianity has been watered down so much that it's just the same as anyone and everyone else. We need to understand where we draw the line. I don't know if any of you saw this picture recently. It was in the news. Breakdancing Jesus. It's a mural that appeared in Bristol. The artist is sat there in front of it. Trying to get an idea of what Jesus would have looked like today. Now, I'm sure he wouldn't have been dressed like that for a start. But that is the question. What would Jesus do? Had a lot of those bracelets recently. Perhaps some of the youngsters, more than anyone else, wore bracelets with WWJD. What would Jesus do? Wherever I go, whatever I do, I need to think about what the Word says and think, well, okay, in this situation, what would Jesus do? Fundamentally, we need to know the Bible. What would Jesus do? Well, unless you know this, unless you have a living relationship with Jesus, where you're getting to know him through the Word, through prayer, through sitting under teaching, through discussing with one another, through working it out together as a community of God's people. Unless we're doing that, how can we know what Jesus would do when we face that difficulty at work, when we face the problem with our neighbour? We need to understand the Word of God, and we need to look at how we can apply it to today, recognising that there will be times where we allow our names to be changed. where we allow ourselves to be part of the system that God has put us in. But that there will be other times where we say, no, this has gone too far. I am not the same as you. We are not the same as everyone else. God has called us to be a holy people, set apart for him within the society that he has placed us. We need to know him, the power of his word transforming us. We need to say, I'm not ashamed of who I am. I am God's child. And whilst I'll partake in society, whilst I will take those opportunities, I will stand for the gospel. And I will say, I am a child of God. I am in Christ. And I'm not ashamed of that. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we love coming to your word because we know that in your word is truth that will feed us and that will speak into our lives day by day. And Lord God, as we have looked at Daniel and as a church, this church will continue to look at the life of Daniel. We thank you that you can speak to us today from something that happened centuries ago. That we can learn from this man of faith who knew when to stand firm, when to say no, when to stand up for his beliefs, and yet how to partake in the society in which he's called to be in. How through him you blessed that society. You caused right decisions to be made. Lord, help us in our day-to-day lives to know how to live, to feed on your word, that we can bring your word into our context today and stand for you unashamedly for your glory. Amen. We're going to sing I Am Not Ashamed, and I'm going to hand back.
This is a new one for most of us, actually. So we're just going to sing the first verse. If you want to join in, that's fine, in the chorus, and then we'll go back to the first verse.
For us, we might be the one. Well, we want to return to that theme of thanksgiving as we sort of come to the part in our service. Do sit for a minute, okay? Just have a little break as our children return. We move to the part of our service where we want to say goodbye to Claire, to Matt, to Ella. Come on, guys. To Abby, to Farron, to Toby, as they make their way back in. But I want to return to that theme of thanksgiving. I want to do that in the context of saying thank you to God. And we're going to bring our gifts to God as we do that. I'm going to sing a song that we've begun to sing here quite a lot in recent times, about 10,000 Reasons. It's a fabulous song. It's one of those songs where the words and the music come together and create a powerful truth about a great God to whom we have much to say thank you for. So we're going to stand, we're going to sing, we're going to bring our gifts. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Let's stand as we sing together now. Let's stand. What a great song. Now, it's never easy, is it, when we say goodbye to people? But in a minute, just to give it a warning, Matt, Claire, and all of you children, we want you to come up here in a minute, okay? And to make it a little bit easier, we'll actually invite your home group to come up as well in a few minutes, all right? So you're not just here on your own. But we want to say thank you to Matt, to Claire, to all of your children, because I worked out today, actually, it's a year to the day that you guys called me to come as your pastor. And a year later, you guys are heading on. And I was just sort of thinking this morning, well, it's got this sort of sense of timing, hasn't it? You know, you sort of wonder what's going to happen in 12 months' time. But there you go. I was thinking this morning, you know, that we do believe what the Bible says, that the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. And the Lord is taking you away as a family, and we're sad about that. But he's also giving you guys to a new church, and a new chapter, and a new opportunity. And we want to pray today that God will bless you guys as you head off. But we want to thank you. I want to thank you as pastor here on behalf of the church for all that you guys have brought to us. I've observed so much in this last 12 months. Personally, it's been great for you to help me to settle in. But I've observed your family life, the example that you've been as parents, the example that you've been as followers of Jesus Christ, as disciples to all of us. I see people nodding as I just say those things. And I know that you've had an impact on the lives of a lot of people. And the way that all of your children have just got involved as part of your ministry here. And wherever we are and whatever we're doing, they just seem to be around, which is just so good. I remember coming to your house once for an elders meeting, an elders breakfast, and the croissants are being cooked by the girls. I mean, fantastic. Everything practical and otherwise. We so appreciate what you've done. So we want you to come up here, because I have a beautiful assistant who's going to help me this morning. So Matt and Claire, Abby, Ella, Toby, Farron, come on up here, okay, because we want to pray for you this morning. We want to give you some gifts as you leave. So that's the good bit. That makes it worthwhile coming up this morning. We won't leave you up here on your own for too long, I promise you, okay? Because I've asked your home group, because I know your home group is very much part of your family as well, to come and to stand with you as we pray in a few minutes. But we do want to give you some gifts as you depart. Some things that you will certainly enjoy, from what I understand. Particularly for you four, okay? And here's my beautiful assistant. We chose wisely, didn't we? My beautiful assistant has some gifts for you on behalf of your family here at the church, because we want to say thank you for all that you are, for all that you brought to us as a church, and it's a token, a way of us saying thanks to you. Well done, beautiful assistant. We have... Thank do you want to present to these guys?
Thank you, lovely pastor.
Right. It's a party today. It's a sad party, but it's a party. So we have presents. Oh, don't they look beautiful?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like a toothpaste commercial. Marvellous.
Right.
We have presents. Firstly, we have a cheque, which I'll give to you because you broke the bank account, but you are to spend it on something that will remind you of us. I'll leave you to... I'm sure you'll have plenty of opinions on that. That comes with our love. And... we've also got something for Claire, because when Matt told us he was leaving as elders, we were very upset. And once we sort of pulled ourselves together and got our jaws off the floor and stopped hyperventilating, we did say, does that mean Claire's going as well? Could we do a deal, you know? Sadly, for us, she has a very modern marriage and she is going with her husband. But we want to thank you, Claire. Thank you for all the times that you have given Matt to the church and gone without him so that we could use him. Thank you also for all the things you've done behind the scenes. There are many people who I know you've prayed with and talked with and really helped, and we're really grateful for that. Thank you for the times that you've spoken a word from God that has really helped us as a church. So these are for you, with our love and thanks.
That's the line too far. No, Well, we have to.
And then we said, okay, well, if Claire's going, we better just check you are taking the children, aren't you? I mean, we love them deeply, but they're better with you. We thank all four of you. Toby already had his eye on that present. We do have a present for you. Okay? So, now you need to... I don't know how the family dynamics work in terms of one present and eight.
Sort of lines sort of go in and...
Well, you open that. That's from all the church. That's right. It's not delicate. Right, ready, steady, go. Open it now.
Oh.
Oh. Oh. Oh. Oh. Please hold it up so everyone can see. So.
Fantastic. Is that a hit, yeah?
So, open that one.
Yeah.
That was a bit more obvious, because if you've got a chocolate fountain, you need some chocolate.
Fantastic.
Marvellous.
Brilliant.
So that's breakfast sorted. And we're going to look forward to hearing all about the four of you. We really enjoyed having you with us. Thank you for all the laughs you've given us.
Yeah.
We shall miss the laughs. And we're looking forward to hearing what happens in the next stage of your adventure with God. Brilliant.
Thanks, Chris. Don't go. Go pray. Right. Now, members of Matt and Claire's home group, I want you guys to come up and stand with these, because in many ways, this has sort of been part of your family, really, in terms of folks that supported you, and you've supported these folks, and you've been through all sorts of stuff together. So people are sort of coming from far and wide at the moment. And we want to stand with you, and we want to pray with you. And then, John, there's a verse from the Bible I want you to put up on the screen for me, that verse from Numbers, which we're going to use as well in a minute. Well, the family's getting bigger and bigger all of a sudden, isn't it? My goodness. Marvellous. Right, can we make room up here, yeah? I think the ugly pastor's going to get pushed off the platform in a minute. Right. Well, I'm going to pray in a minute, okay, on behalf of all of us, for this family. And then the words that you see on the screen behind me, okay, are some wonderful words from the Old Testament, words of blessing that we're going to use as a church family. We'll stand when I'm finished praying, and we'll pray these words for this family as they go, that God's blessing would be on them. So let's pray, shall we? I'm going to pray on behalf of us all, and then we'll stand and we'll pray together. Lord, thank you for this day. It's a day of mixed emotions. We recognize that you have called Matt and Claire and their family to a new church and a new situation and a new chapter. And Lord, we want to pray your blessing on them today. We thank you for them. We thank you for all that they've brought to this particular church family over the last number of years. Thank you for the way that you've used them to bless our lives in so many different ways. Thank you for the lives who've been changed and touched by Jesus as a result of this family working among us. And we pray that you will watch over them. We pray particularly, Lord, for school changes and changes of friendships and changes of homes. Lord, that you will be in all of that, and that you will make that way smooth for this family, that you'll make that way straight. Lord, we pray that as we say farewell and as King's Hill say welcome, that this family may know that they're at the very center of your will and your purpose for them. And we pray this today in Jesus' name. Amen. Now let's stand, shall we? Here's a great prayer of blessing. You stand if you're able to stand. If not, stay seated. And if you can see the words on the screen behind me, let's be quiet for a minute. That's not bad. And let's say these words together, okay? We're saying them. I'm going to get out of the way because we're saying them to Matt and to Claire and to Abby and to Ella and to Toby and to Farron. We're going to say this prayer to them this morning. So if you can look at them and look at the screen at the same time, we're going to pray. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen. Just, if you want to sit for a minute, okay? Just stay here for one second, okay? One of the great legacies that I know Matt's going to leave behind is Friday nights. I was here on Friday night, and where you're sitting this morning was completely filled by primary school children, from the front row to the back row of this church. That's the scale of the work that's going on Friday nights at the moment. We weren't quite able to show a farewell video to Matt on Friday night because it kind of broke down halfway through. And I said to Charlie, let's show it this morning, because if we're still able to do that and things are still connected up here, it's a lovely snapshot of some of the children just wanting to say goodbye and thank you. So we'll watch that, and then we're going to sing in a minute and sing our final song, assuming we can get our technology working and stuff. And that means that you guys can head back to your seats as we watch this.
Good luck for where you're moving, for you and your family, and goodbye.
Bye, Matt. I'm going to miss you so much.
Hi, Matt. Thanks for all the great work you've done looking after these kids.
Thank you for your help and being a good friend to me.
Goodbye, Matt. Have a great time at the next church. I hope you have an amazing time.
Fantastic. Well, probably couldn't see it all that clearly, but it gives you a flavour, doesn't it, of just how much people appreciate what's gone on and what these guys have done, and with God's help, God working in you and through you. We're going to sing a final song together this morning, partly because it picks up on that theme of the Lord giving and the Lord taking away. The Lord is there for all our circumstances. He's there for you guys as you head off. He's here as we remain committed to God's work in this place. We serve the same God. So let's stand to sing, Blessed Be the Name of the Lord. Let's stand together now to sing.
And our band would like to thank Claire as well, because as many people know, she used to play with us. So if you fancy playing, Claire. See some action.
The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it. They are saved. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it. They are saved.
Glory.
Let's remain standing. We want to pray. If you're staying for lunch, we want to say thank you to God for the food that we anticipate enjoying together in a few minutes. And we want to pray for God's blessing as we go out into a new week. So let's pray. Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you for hearing from your word, whether it was in this room or whether it was in other rooms around our premises this morning. We believe that you've spoken. Help us to hear what you've said and to put it into practice. We thank you for the food which many of us are about to enjoy together in a few minutes. Thank you for Helen and for her team and for the hard work that they're involved in behind the scenes. Bless this food to us, we pray. Help us to form deeper friendships and relationships with each other as we speak and as we share lunch together. And we just pray now, Lord, some words from the Bible, some words from the New Testament. As Matt and Claire and their family leave us today, we pray. To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Saviour be glory, majesty, power and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen.